Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is where we left off 2 weeks ago, before Jeremy Gall ministered. And I was sharing some things and said that I was going to begin a series on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. And that's what we're going to begin today. But I want to touch base on this scripture that we sort of used 2 weeks ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writing to this Gentile church said this in 1 Corinthians 1, 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here, if you remember, Paul writing to these believers in Corinth said to them that you were enriched by Him in all knowledge and in all utterance, so that you come behind. That expression, come behind, literally means you are second to none. Second to none. You come behind in no gift. But the important thing that I want you to focus on is verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There again, we looked at this passage and looked at the original language. And what Paul was sharing was simply this, that the Jesus that they had been talked about and taught about had been made alive in their midst, so that the testimony of Jesus Christ was authenticated by the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their midst. In other words, Jesus showed Himself alive in the midst of the church at Corinth. And that is His desire among every body of believers in the earth today. It's always been the way He operates, that He desires to prove Himself alive. And the book of Hebrews tells us how He does it. Said, God bearing witness, both with signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. And so God will always confirm His testimony. Microphone? Time out. Thank you, Charles. We're good? Testing 1, 2. We're on? Okay, thank you. Sorry, my bad. So, the Holy Spirit took the ministry of Jesus and made it alive in the midst of the Corinthian church, because the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed or authenticated in their midst. And Paul also said that God had enriched them with knowledge and utterance, so that when it came to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they were second to none. Well, that is a great admonition. Now, he had to write some things to these people so that they would understand the proper exercise of spiritual gifts. And so that's what we're going to spend the next several weeks doing. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Here's something that I want you to see. John chapter 14. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit and what He would do when He came, and really setting the stage for His ministry, which began on the day of Pentecost. But Jesus said something in John 14, beginning with verse 15. Follow along with me. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. And so here Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit and His ministry, and not only the fact that He would come and be a helper, that Greek word parakletos, which is translated comforter, but rather He would be in us. Now, notice this, that He said, whom the world cannot receive. Do you know why the world cannot receive the things of the Holy Spirit? He told us why right in this verse. Because it seeth Him not. People who are not born again, people who are not in Christ, are deficient in that they are limited by their senses. In other words, everything that they know has come through the senses. What they see, what they feel, what they hear. But yet, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit goes beyond what you can see. Or beyond your senses. Are you with me? And of course, we all know that Christians, people who are in Jesus Christ, are called to live by their faith. We find that scripture or that statement 5 or 6 times in the Old and New Testament. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You find it in Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 2:20, Hebrews 10:38. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, says it a little differently. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The word walk, peripateo, literally means to live. So as believers, we live by faith, not by sight. But yet the world is limited by their senses. Now, why is that important for you to know? It is a waste of time, listen to me now, for you to try to explain spiritual truth to an unbeliever. Because many times they won't get it. Why don't they get it? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. Are you with me? If I can't grasp it with my mind, then I don't understand it. That's the way an unbeliever thinks. Now, the sad thing is many Christian people think the same way. They live by their senses and the information that comes through the senses. So, to understand the Holy Spirit, it's going to take more than your brain. Are you with me? And so, we don't need to be like unbelievers. Unbelievers don't understand things of the Spirit because they can't see it. And they don't know it. But we know it because Jesus said to these people at the time, and John recorded it, because He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, they lived with the Holy Spirit because they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And everything that Jesus did was because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? Remember that? And it was Peter who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, you're blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, this information didn't come through the senses, but God revealed it to you. Now, how did He reveal it to him? By the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, my Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Well, how did He do it? By the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then He said this, for God was with him. Well, how was God with him? In the person of the Holy Spirit. How did He work miracles? By the Holy Spirit. God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power. So the disciples lived with Him. But Jesus went on to say, He's going to live in you. And that's the thing that you have to realize as a believer, that the Holy Spirit makes His home on the inside of you. He's not some will-o'-the-wisp, Casper the Ghost type character, but he's God, the third person of the Godhead, and he makes his home in you. Amen? All right. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You guys ready to dive in? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, here again, Paul, writing to the same Gentile church, shares some things that are important to us. Now, follow along with me, beginning with verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, the word ignorant means, basically, you just don't know. Do you know it's not a sin to be ignorant? It's a sin to stay that way. But it's not a sin to be ignorant. If you don't know, you don't know. We have to realize in life, many times we judge people too harshly. And when really we should have some measure of mercy and compassion upon them, simply because they've never been taught some things. There are some things that people just don't know. Now, if I were to put a random person from the congregation behind the cockpit of a 747, and if you were to say to me, Pastor Bill, I can't fly this plane, does that mean that you were unintelligent? No. That just means you've never learned the skill to fly an airplane like that. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It does mean you're ignorant about flying that type of aircraft. But guess what? There's a cure for ignorance. You know what it is? Knowledge. Knowledge and information and training can cure ignorance. And so God does not want us to be ignorant concerning things of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice how that verse is worded. Now, concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word gifts is italicized in my Bible, and I have a King James Version. That simply means that that word is not found in the original text, but was added by the translators to help clarify the meaning. What Paul literally said by the Holy Spirit was, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. We often think that spiritual gifts are like natural gifts. Let me phrase it another way. Here's an example that I think you can relate to. We're coming up upon the holiday season. If I were to give you a Christmas gift, once you take possession of that gift, it becomes your property. You can do with it whatever you will. Anybody ever get a Christmas gift you really didn't want? What'd you do with it? Did you end up giving it to somebody else? They don't know where you got it. Are you with me? Well, you might think that's against the law. It's not. Because once you receive a gift, it becomes your possession. We were speaking to our daughter last night, and I yelled, and I said, Glory, your birthday gift is on its way. She's talking to Mama on the phone. Well, once she gets that birthday gift, that's her possession. I'm not going to tell her what to do with that. Are you with me? It's hers. She can do with it whatever she wants. If she chooses to give it to somebody else, that's her right. Listen to me carefully. Spiritual things don't operate that way. Spiritual gifts do not become your possession. You cannot do with them what you will. The word gifts here should literally be translated endowment. Okay? That means the Holy Spirit will endow you with certain abilities at certain times to do certain things. But these are not our possession to do with what we will. Now, there have been some people over the years who have misinterpreted these scriptures, and they come away with a wrong attitude. I remember twice in my life I've run into people who tried to convince me that they possessed all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And every time they've said that to me, a little space cadet meter in the back of my mind goes off and says, ooh, wee, ooh, wee, ooh, you got a nut here. Well, they really don't understand spiritual things. Spiritual gifts are not your possession to do with what you will. Think of them rather as an endowment of ability that comes from heaven. Are you with me? And that endowment of ability that comes from heaven operates as He wills, not as we will. We'll see this as we get into this. Now, follow along with me. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus anathema or accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. The people at Corinth were used to worshiping, but they worshiped idols. They worshiped in temples dedicated to false gods. Some of them were involved in cult worship. Some of them were involved in debauchery that was called worship. And if you've heard me teach about the church at Corinth, you realize that this place was no country town. It was a major seaport city. People came from all over the known world to worship at Corinth because there was a temple dedicated to the worship of Aphrodite, or Venus, the love goddess. And the temple worship was so intricate that it involved over 1,000 prostitutes. And this cult taught that if you wanted to get close to Aphrodite, or the Greeks called her Venus, you worshiped her through sex. And so men came from all over the known world to get close to God through sex. And who didn't want to get close to God, right? And so that's the type of worship that happened in the temple of Aphrodite. And so that's why Paul wrote a little later and said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing." The unclean thing, akathartos, literally means that which is lewd and or demonic. Get out of there. Don't touch it. Don't participate in it. But yet many of these men grew up and worshiped in that temple. So they understood worship. And so now Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is drawing a distinction between what they used to call worship and what real worship is. Are you with me? So no man speaking by the Holy Spirit is going to say that Jesus is anathema or accursed. But no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, follow along with me. I want to show you something that you don't often see when you study this chapter. Notice verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts. Everybody say gifts. But the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. Say administrations. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. Say operations. But the same God which worketh all in all. Now, this chapter is not just about gifts. It's literally an explanation of gifts, ministries, and operations. Gifts, ministries, and operations. Follow along with me again now from verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, here's something that you have to understand. God will anoint you with certain gifts to do certain things. But every ministry will not be the same. Because the Holy Spirit will operate in different people, different ways. In other words, you can have the same gifts and a similar ministry, but the Holy Spirit will operate differently in you than everybody else or somebody else. So, what I want you to learn from this little section is this. Be yourself. Don't try to imitate somebody else. There's only one you. And God has given you unique gifts and talents that are unique to you. That's why many times it's a mistake to try to copy somebody else. Now, there are certain attributes and things that we should copy. We should imitate. We know that Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, therefore be followers of God as dear children. That's in Ephesians chapter 5. But Hebrews 6 says, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The word follower is a Greek word, mimetes. It means to mimic, to copy the actions, mannerisms, patterns of speech. In other words, do what they did, say what they said, you'll have what they had. Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. But that doesn't necessarily mean you should be a copy of somebody else. Are you with me? Now, many times we learn this when we're young in Christ, and there are a lot of things that we pick up from other people. One of those things that we can pick up from other people is prayer. And for many Christians, if they don't spend time studying and developing a prayer life themselves, then they're going to pray like somebody else. I remember a few years ago, I was in a church here in town, and the pastor, and it wasn't our church, but the pastor asked one of the deacons to pray. And he started off with, "Oh, Lord Most High. Oh, the great God who made the blue sky blue and the green grass green." I thought, "Oh, Lord, here we go." And I knew where he was going with that. I've heard that same prayer prayed many times before. But what was he doing? He was imitating something he heard from somebody else. Listen, you don't have to necessarily imitate what you hear from other people. Be an original. Be you. Be yourself. Are you with me? And so much of ministry today is like a cookie cutter. Carbon copy. They're doing what they heard somebody else do. Amen? I've never been one to hoop, but I got a lot of friends who were hoopers. Y'all know what I mean. And I always wondered why they did that. I didn't understand it. And finally, I realized they're just copying each other. And I heard a minister say many, many years ago, he says, "Yeah, y'all been listening to those C.L. Franklin records, trying to preach like C.L. Franklin." Well, what you don't know is he had asthma. That's why he sounded that way. That wasn't the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? He had a breathing problem. And so other people thought, well, he preached that way, so that must be the anointing. No, that's not necessarily the anointing. Study a little bit. You'll find out what the anointing is, and that ain't it. See, volume does not equate with anointing. Just because somebody preaches loud doesn't mean they're anointed. Amen. I was going to say something. I'm glad I didn't. Amen. I'm going to stay out of trouble this series. All right? Gifts, ministries, and operations. So there are diversities of gifts. There are differences of ministries. And there are different ways those gifts operate in different ministries. Don't necessarily try to imitate the way somebody else ministers. Be original. Be yourself. You with me? Have you ever heard somebody prophesy and they say this, "Yea, saith the Lord"? Have you ever heard somebody prophesy, "Yea, saith God"? I remember many, many years ago, I was in a church, and there was a man in the congregation, and he would prophesy often. But I remember one time he got up and said, "Yea, if you'll listen to my prophet." And I thought, what? He's a prophet now. Well, listen, there are prophets in the church. But just because you prophesy, it doesn't mean you're a prophet. Okay? Let me say it another way. You can have money in your pocket, but that doesn't mean you're a millionaire. You got it? Okay? There's a measure that's involved there. There are certain gifts and characteristics that accompany the ministry of a prophet that somebody who prophesies doesn't necessarily have to possess. Y'all with me? Y'all got to stay alert, all right? Because this is some good stuff. The enemy doesn't want you to know this. He wants you to be ignorant. God wants you to know. Say, God wants me to know. All right. Okay, now, let's get into this a little bit. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, this is what I want you to see. This phrase, every man, literally means every person. In the original Greek, the word should be more accurately translated like this, each and every one. Each and every one. Now, I'm not going to do this today, but if I were to say, I'm going to give each and every one of you $100 before you leave today, what would your expectation be? Well, why would you think it belongs to you? Pardon me? I said what? Each and every. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit was saying through Paul. To each and every one of us, God has given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Each and every one. Now, this is what draws a distinction between what people have taught about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what God wants us to understand. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for preachers. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for people in full-time ministry. Here's another one for you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just for people who teach and preach. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for each and every one of us. Amen? Each and every one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit belongs to. Now, I can attest to this, that in my life, the Holy Spirit has done things at times that had nothing to do with ministry other than He showed up to save my life. Now, I understand I have an assignment, and so He wanted to keep me alive. Are you with me? Well, guess what? He wants to keep you alive too. And there are times the Holy Spirit will manifest Himself, show up, reveal something to you, or do something through you to preserve your life or to preserve the life of somebody else. Are you with me? And I'll share those things with you because you need to know them and you need to know how the Holy Spirit operates. Now, I'm just going to pick these things up and then we're going to pick this up next week. But this is a good introduction. Now, notice verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or each and every one to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now, that phrase, every man, remember, that means each and every one. So, let's break these gifts or manifestations down into categories so that we can better understand them. All right? There are 9 gifts or manifestations listed. There are 3 of them that say something. There are 3 of them that reveal something. And there are 3 of them that do something. And so let's, for the sake of understanding, categorize these gifts so that we can go through them individually. There are three gifts that say something. They are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So we'll refer to those as vocal gifts. There are three gifts or manifestations that reveal something. There's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And there are three gifts or manifestations that do something. Those are faith or special faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. And so we have a trinity of gifts or manifestations. And a trinity of manifestations within those categories. So three gifts that say something, three gifts that reveal something, three gifts that do something. And they're not limited to preachers and or ministry. Are you with me? Now, I'll tell you how one of these gifts operated in my life many years ago. On one particular day, I had been working third shift on my job in the convenience store. It was summertime. I was not in class at the time. And I went to Bible college in Tulsa. And I worked from 11 to 7. At 7 a.m., I got off and I got in my car and I'm heading to the house. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is what he said: stop and see Harry. That was all he said. I have a good friend named Harry Jones. Harry Jones pastors a church today in York, Pennsylvania. Harry Jones worked for the same company in a different store. My store was on North Lewis Avenue in the Greenwood District of North Tulsa. His store was on Admiral Boulevard near the interstate. I worked 11 to 7. He worked 7 to 2 or 3. He's a first shift guy. I'm on my way to my apartment and the Holy Spirit said, stop and see Harry. That's all he said. Well, you know, I really wanted to go home and get in the bed. But you know what I did? I took a little diversion, drove about 5 blocks from where we live, pulled into the parking lot where Harry worked, and went into the store. And Harry was just getting started on his shift. He said, hey, Bill, how you doing? I said, Harry, how are you? He said, what's going on? Listen, the Lord said, stop and see Harry. That's all he said. And so Harry used to be a professional baseball player, drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies, and gave up baseball to study for ministry. And so I'm standing there talking to Harry. Listen, the Lord told me to stop and see Harry. That's all he said. And so Harry and I are having a conversation. Another fellow walks in the store, goes back to the magazine rack, and then we noticed he picked up a magazine, but he turned around. He was paying attention to everything we said. And so Harry and I started changing the conversation. We started talking about Jesus for him. We started talking about how good God was and how merciful he was and how much he loved us. We were doing it for him. The guy got right up next to the counter, had a magazine in his hand, and he was hanging on every word. Then all of a sudden, Harry turned and looked at him and said, well, what's with you, brother? And the man bust out crying. It was the craziest thing you ever saw. And we said, what's the matter? He said, I was driving down the highway and I heard a voice in the back of the car said, stop and go in the store. It scared me. He said, so I drove past the exit. Then I heard that voice again said, turn around, go back in the store. He said, so I did. He said, I don't know why I'm here. Well, guess what? I knew why he was there. I looked at Harry. Harry looked at me. I said, Harry, I got the register. Why don't you get him hooked up? So Harry took him into the back room, led him to Jesus, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit. We found out that the man was homeless and living in his car with his teenage son. And when he was on his way to another town, when he heard that voice in the back seat. Now listen, I can't wrap my brain around that event and try to figure out what God was doing. But I know that it was important for that man to get saved that day. And it was wonderful. So Harry got him, led him to Jesus, got him filled with the Holy Ghost, gave him some money, ministered to the man. But God did that supernaturally for one guy. For one man. He moved supernaturally, showed up, manifested himself. So one man could receive Jesus that morning. And all I had to do was my part. What was my part? Stop and see Harry. That was it. And listen, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the biggest problem we have is not that God doesn't use us, but rather when He speaks to us, we don't obey. Because we think it's the preacher's job. Guess what? You're part of the body. He'll use you too. Amen? Amen. He'll use you too. I didn't preach to anybody that morning. I didn't lay hands on anybody that morning. All I did was obey the Lord. I stopped and saw Harry. And it freed up Harry so he could minister to the man. Amen? See, when you live that way, life gets to be an adventure. It is fun. It's happened like that time and time and time again. But how many times have we missed opportunities because we didn't know or understand what was going on, didn't understand what the Lord was trying to do, and were too intimidated to act on what He said? Well, by the time I'm done with you, you're going to be bold. Amen? I plan to help you get there. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.